Good morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 139. While you're turning, our pastor and Janet are at the conference in Millsite Baptist Church today in Cottageville, West Virginia. Frank reported yesterday they're having wonderful services and wonderful fellowship. And speaking of fellowship, if you weren't here or weren't able to listen to this morning's message, listen to that. Get that from sermon audio and listen. Speaking of wonderful fellowship, our fellowship in Christ. But they're having wonderful fellowship, and we are too. Our elder Eric Floyd is preaching at College Grove today in College Grove, Tennessee, so we pray for traveling mercies for both of them. Look forward to having them home with us. Psalm 139. We'll read the first 10 verses. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. Let's stand together while Mike leads us in call to worship.
Father of glory, how rich is Thy grace! What wonderful love is displayed in Thy face! In Jesus Thy image, with brightness we view, with hope to be formed in that likeness anew. Wonder of wonders, astonish Thy gaze, to see in a manger the Ancient of Days. From sin to release us, that yoke so long worn, my God, my Creator, a woman was born. For unworthy sinners, my Lord bowed His head. For unworthy sinners, He suffered and bled. My spirit rejoices, the work is all done. My soul is redeemed, my salvation is won. Great Father of glory, how rich is Thy grace! What wonderful love is displayed in Thy face! In Him, our beloved, we're washed in His blood. With confidence come to the throne of our God.
Well, we're a little behind, so I'm going to skip that first song, and let's go to the second song on 103, number 103. Let's sing the chorus after the first, third, and fifth. It's a great song. his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sin, my Redeemer is he. One day they left him alone in the garden. One day they rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er his tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day.
Thank you, good saint. Turn back with me to Psalm 139, if you would. Psalm 139. We're going to pick back up in verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. End our reading. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with us in the morning service as you were during Sunday school, that you bless the message, bless this time of fellowship that we have together, and this time of worship, that it be right and good, and that it be honoring to you, that we worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray that you leave us not alone, both in this service as well as throughout the week. Father, keep us and hold us, for we would leave you. Keep us and protect us and keep us cleaving to you. Forgive our sinfulness, our evil hearts, our evil thoughts, our desire not toward you, but rather keep us. Focus our hearts on your goodness. Scripture says, whatsoever things are good, think on these. Father, keep our minds and our hearts focused on you. We thank you for this time that we have together. We don't deserve this time. We don't deserve to even bow before you, but thank you for drawing us. And I pray that you bless this time. Remove those thoughts of this world from our minds, that we may worship once more. And give us eyes to see Christ again. Give us a heart to worship. Forgive our sinfulness. We pray for those that are undergoing trial of heartache or sickness or whatever the trial may be. I pray that you be with them and comfort as only you can. And what we pray for ourselves, we pray for the congregations that are meeting even now, all across the globe, that you bless as you see fit. Father, give us a heart that seeks after your will and delights in it. We pray this thankfully in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. It's my pleasure to introduce Gabe Stonaker after Mike's special, if you would. Gabe, come preach the word to us. Gabe and Hannah travel from Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. We're thankful for you, for your congregation, for your family. We're thankful that you're here and for that fellowship that we have that Lord laid on your heart today. We're thankful for that. We're thankful that you're here. Again, when Mike's done with the special, come preach.
Him forever and praise. amazing truth to ponder. Reconciled to God in Him. Lord of heaven, God's Son, what wonder. He became the sinner's friend. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made Him stoop to save the soul. Days and days in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship Him forever and praise Him for His glorious love, and praise Him for His glorious love.
What a wonderful song. I don't know if that line is, my soul will silence never, or my song will silence never. But either way, we'll praise Him forever. Will we ever stop crying? Thou art worthy, for Thou wast slain. That's beautiful. I want to say thank you again for having us. And I just want to say how much I love your pastor so much. He is such a dear friend to me and my father. And every time I talk to him, I'm so encouraged by him. He's just such a dear, sweet, positive brother. You have a wonderful pastor, and I'm thankful for you, happy for you. Love him so much. Turn with me, if you would, now to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and let's read verses 13 to 15. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let me open this message by giving you a few facts about the gospel. All right, here are a few absolute facts about the gospel. Number one, The gospel is a declaration. It is a notification. It is not an offer. I'm not here to offer anybody anything this morning. A lot of people believe that's what the gospel is. They believe that it is an offer, but it's not. It's not an offer. The gospel is not a solicitation. It's not an advertisement as something for sale. That's what a lot of people believe the gospel is. And it turns people off because that's what they believe the gospel is. You know, a business owner, a guy has a store in town. On the door of his store, he puts no soliciting, meaning don't come in here and try to sell me something. The gospel's not a solicitation. The gospel is not a call to arms, and that's what most people think it is. They think that it's a call to action. You know, we get up here and we motivate people. We're going to motivate you. All right, now let's go. It's not a call to arms. The gospel is not a proposal of cooperation. Now, here's the thing. If you will do this, he will do that. That's not what the gospel is. The gospel is not a blueprint. It's not a plan. I've heard so many times people talk about, you know, how many souls they've won, and they say, you know, I laid out the plan of salvation to them. Well, the gospel's not a plan. The gospel is a declaration. All right, now just a moment ago, we read verses 13 to 15, and what we read was a declaration. We read a notification. All right, that's the first fact. The second fact is, the gospel is good news. It is good news. There is a lot of bad news in the truth. There's a lot. When you tell somebody the truth of the Word, here's the truth of what the Word says. There's a lot of bad news in there. When we see the truth of our condition, when it's revealed to a man, finally, the Spirit of God reveals to him the truth of his condition on this earth in the flesh, that's horrible news. I didn't realize that. Bad news. When the truth of God's law is revealed, man sees a couple of laws in here. There are thousands and thousands of laws in here, but man loves to post 10 on the wall, and then he looks at those 10 and says, yep, I did that, and yep, I did that, and yep, I did that. Not realizing that everything that God demands and commands applies not only to the deeds of the hands, but the thoughts of the mind and the motivation of the heart. He said, if you've ever gotten angry with anybody, you've committed murder. Well, who hadn't committed murder? So when that truth of God's law comes in, that's bad news. When the truth of His judgment on sinners like me and sinners like you is revealed to a person, it's terrible news because most people think God's a pushover and He's just going to sweep it all under the rug at the end anyway. It'll be okay. It's going to be all right. Well, when the truth of the strictness of God's justice and God's judgment, this is a holy judge we're dealing with. There are some judges on this earth that criminals go stand before, and they get a reputation as being a hard, strict, by-the-book judge. No mercy. Okay, well, when the truth of God's judgment, when that's revealed to a person, that's terrible news. When we see these things, we realize that there's a lot of bad news in the truth. A lot. But there is no bad news in the gospel. None. The gospel is nothing but good news, all right? So it's a declaration of good news. And here's the third fact. The gospel is all about Christ. Period. It's all about Christ. Men and women hear the word gospel and they, you know, go to these gospel singings and they gospel this and gospel that and they're trying to figure out what is the gospel really and how do I play into it? What's my role here? Well, I don't have one. But we're talking about the gospel. The gospel only involves Christ. It's all about Christ. If we are going to talk about the gospel, we have to be talking about Christ. We have to be talking about who He is. We have to talk about what He did, and we have to talk about why He did it. Does it involve us? Yes, but it doesn't involve us. It only involves Him. It's all about Him. So if we are not declaring the good news of Christ, we're not declaring the gospel. Now let's read these three verses again with that in mind, okay? Colossians 2 verse 13, it says, "And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh." That's the truth. There's the truth. Verse 13 goes on to say, "Hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." That's the gospel. That is the gospel. That declaration is the gospel. Now let's just break that down and declare it in a way that we can understand it. And then we'll be done. Verse 13 says, "And you, being dead." What does he mean by that? We all got up this morning and put our clothes on and got breakfast and got in our car. What does he mean, "and you, being dead"? Well, he's not talking about being dead physically. He's not talking about being dead mentally. He's not talking about being dead emotionally. He's talking about being dead spiritually. Turn back just a few pages to Ephesians 2. The Apostle Paul is writing to God's people here. And he said in Ephesians 2 verse 1, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." He said you were dead in trespasses and sins, but you walked. You walked according to the, you were dead, but you walked according to the course of this world. You lived in the world. You were physically alive in the world. But spiritually speaking, you walked, it goes on to say in verse 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that's the condition that every man and woman is in the flesh. That's what we're born into, all of us, me included. We're all born into this spiritually dead condition. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was all of us. There's no room to say, well, I'm not like them. That was all of us. Verse 4 says, but God. All right, now up until this point, he's been talking about us. Now he's going to talk about Christ. Up until this point, he's been declaring the horrible news of the truth. Now he's going to give us the good news of the gospel. Verse 4 says, but God, this is who he is, who is rich in mercy. You know what God is like? He is rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us, this is what he did. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's who he is, and that's what he did. Now this is why he did it. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. That's what he meant in chapter 1, verse 3, when it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So here's the truth about every man and woman on this earth. Here's the horrible, shocking truth. Here's the truth about every man and woman in this room. Let's bring it close to home. Not just on the earth. Let's talk about those of us in this room. In our flesh, we're dead. In our flesh, all that we can do is dead things. Okay, that's all we can do. You know, men stand up and say, now what are you going to do for Jesus? Or what all we can do is dead things. Here are some of the things that we can do. In our condition, these are some of the things that we can do. We can rot. A dead thing can do that. We can stink. That's something a dead thing can do. We can be vile and repulsive. Corrupted. Decayed. Diseased. Dead things can do that. We can do no good thing before God. No profitable thing before God. Those are the kind of things that we can do if we're dead. If, according to God's holy word, we are being dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh. If that's the case, then that's all we can do. Here's the bad news of the truth, okay? That's who we are, and that's all we can do. Now, who is Christ and what can he do? Better yet, better news, what has he done? Who is Christ and what has he done? Well, if you go with me back to Colossians 2, verse 13 says, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him. That means made alive. That means to reanimate. It means to regenerate, quickened, regenerate. Christ is our life. He's our life. He's all life, but He is our life. He is our life. When the Lord Jesus Christ created Adam from the dust of the ground, and that's who created Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, He made him to be a living soul. What that means is He made something that was perfectly united to Himself. To say that Adam was a living soul, it means he was perfectly united with Christ. Adam was alive because of his union with Christ. That's the reason. When Adam sinned, he was cast out of his union with Christ. He was cast out of the garden, yes. But more importantly, he was cast out of his union with Christ. And the moment he lost union with Christ, he spiritually died. He kept walking, but he spiritually died. To be joined together with Christ is life. We're here to learn about eternal life. Well, to be joined together with Christ is life. And to be separated from that union with Christ is death. That's what spiritual death is. Physical death is the soul's separation from this body. That's what physical death is. Spiritual death is the soul's separation from God. That's what Arthur Pink said, and he got it right. Physical death is the soul's separation from the body. Spiritual death is the soul's separation from God. In order for life to come back to God's people, and in order for them to be quickened again, they all had to be brought back to a vitally joined union with Christ. Just like a branch that's cut off of a tree. If it has any hope of living again, it has to be grafted back into the tree. It has to become united again with the tree. That's the only hope of life. Well, what did it take for God's people who were dead in their sins to be joined back together with Christ? What did it take? What did He have to do to accomplish that union again? Verse 13, here in Colossians 2, verse 13, it says, "And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Death cannot be joined to life. It cannot be joined to life. Nobody has ever been half dead. That's something that we, you know, he's half dead. Nothing has ever been half dead. You're either dead or you're alive. One of the two. Darkness cannot be joined to light. Sin cannot be joined to sinlessness. It just cannot be. It all had to be put away. Completely put away. So that's what Christ did. Verse 14 says, "He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." Our union with Him was lost because of sin against His commandment to us. He said, "In the day you eat of that fruit, you're going to die." And we died because of breaking that commandment. Sin against His ordinance. And this is what the ordinance has to say to us. Because of that sin, this is what God's holy ordinance now has to say to us. You don't stack up anymore. You don't hold up. You're found lacking. That's what King Belshazzar, he saw that writing on the wall. And that's what it said to him. You are weighed in the balances and you've come up short. You've sinned against God. And the wages of sin is death. That's the truth. That's just the truth. But here's the gospel. There is one that can redeem you. Now, if we ever get a hold of the truth, it will make the gospel glorious to us. Some who have never seen this before, they think, how can you do this? How can you go back service after service after service and hear the same message? How can you sit there and hear a man who will stand up and say, you are a sinner in your flesh and in your works and in everything that you do and everything that you are, and then preach this one hope of salvation in the death and the work and the blood of Christ? How can you just hear that over and over and over and over? If God ever reveals the truth of what we really are, the gospel will be, it'll become glorious. It'll become life. It will become everything. And you try to tell a child of God something other than the gospel, and that's when a fight breaks out. We don't want to hear that. You tell us that same old story one more time. Our union with Christ, it was lost because of that sin. And he said, you're found lacking. But here is the good news of the gospel. There is one who can redeem you. There is one thing that can bring remission from your sin. A person gets a disease of some kind and they treat it and they remove that disease, and then it's said that person is in remission. In remission from the disease. That means they're free from it. It's been removed from them. Well, God said there is one thing that can bring remission from your sin. There is one thing that can remove it and set you free from it. And this is what that one thing is. Sinless blood. That's what the one thing is. Sinless blood. It has to be sinless blood. This is the reason why you cannot redeem yourself. This is the reason why people think, well, I need to redeem myself. Sinless blood is inside you. I mean, sinful blood is inside you. All right? You cannot redeem yourself because it is blood that makes remission for the soul. God said it has to be without spot. It has to be without blemish. And all of us are infected with sinful blood. You cannot redeem yourself. There is only one place where we can find sinless blood. In Emmanuel's veins. That's the only place. Look with me, if you would, at 1 John chapter 1. First John 1, verse 7. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What cleanses us? The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ alone. That's it. Not his blood and my decision. Not his blood and my turning over a new leaf or rededicating my heart or what. It's his blood alone. Revelation 1 verse 5 says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Every offense that the law had against us, every time the law said, this is what you've done, and it's going to take blood to pay the debt of it. Every time Christ said, here it is. Every offense. He blotted out. He covered with sinless blood every single ordinance that was on record against his people. You ever go back into your mind to the past, to things that you've done and you knew you shouldn't have done it? You ever go back into there and you have that regret thinking, won't that go away? Why is that still lingering in my mind 30 years later? Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Right? It's like a worm that dieth not. Right? Every single sin that you have committed, and I have committed, and all of his people have committed, every single individual sin has been covered in the spotless blood of Jesus Christ, blotted out. Every single one of them. Every soul that Christ blotted out all those sins for, they have a record. Everything that we did was on record. God's holy justice and judgment was writing down every ordinance against us. And Christ came with His own blood and blotted all of it out. And now when you look at our record, all you see is a big red page. Blood, 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 blood. That means every child of God in Christ has a brand new record. A brand spanking new record. He took that old record of every soul the Father gave to Him, and He nailed that old record to His cross. He laid that old record on Himself, and then He nailed Himself to His cross. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. We just heard that played a moment ago. All right? My sin. I'm talking about Gabe Stoniker's sin. You all have your own sin to worry about. I have my own sin to worry about. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, not just from that moment when the Lord finally revealed Himself to me. Not in part, but the whole. Not just the sins that I have committed up to this point, and now I better straighten up and fly right, or I'm going to get a record again. Okay, I wiped that record out. Now, don't do it again. Well, guess what I've done? You know that 30 years ago? My sin, not in part, but the whole. From the moment I was conceived to the moment I leave this earth. All of it was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Those soldiers did not nail our Lord to the cross. He nailed Himself to the cross. Those soldiers were the pawns. They were just the means of carrying out His command. He said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And the reason is because He took everything that we were, all of our days on this earth, with Him to that cross. He nailed it all to that cross, and He put it all away. Every bit of it. This is, if you go back to our text, go back to Colossians 2. I'll wrap it up. Colossians 2. The first time I saw this was so glorious to me. Verse 13, it says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. His cross. He took my sin and my sorrow. He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and He suffered and died alone. He made every bit of it His own. Even the cross, that was His own. There's a poem, and these are some of the first lines in that poem. He borrowed the bed to lay His head. He borrowed the bread when the crowd He fed. He borrowed a room on the way to the tomb. He borrowed the cave for Him a grave. But the crown that he wore and the cross that he bore, those were his own. He took my sin and made them his own. In that moment, verse 15 says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. And if you have a center margin in your Bible, you'll see those last two words translate in himself. Triumphing over them in himself. In his sacrifice on the cross. The moment he blotted out every ordinance against his people, he overthrew every principality and power that his people were held captive to. In that moment, he led captivity, the captors of his people, those who held his people captive. In that moment, he led captivity captive. And what that means is he won the victory. If we want to see that victory, all we have to do is look to Christ. If we want to see the victory over our sin, all we have to do is look to Christ. If we want to be assured that the battle is over, that the victory is won, and our freedom is secured, all we have to do is look to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to the Lamb of God. Every time we see Christ crucified, we see Him triumphing over them in Himself. Every time. He brought that battle into Himself, and He won. That's the declaration of the good news of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for His people. Now, a moment ago, we just sang a song, and I want to read the words to you in that song, because those verses declare the gospel, this glorious news of the gospel. It was hymn number 103, and this is what they said. One day when heaven was filled with His praises, right, this is what glory was like before we sinners were created and fell. Heaven was filled with His praises. All right, now down here on this earth, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. Dwelt among men, my example is He. One day they led Him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed Him to die on the tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. Why did Christ come? To put away the sin of His people. Did He do it? Yes, He did. He didn't try. He did it. It's finished. You don't have to do anything. This is not a call to arms. This is a call to rest. All right? Here's the declaration now. Rest. Lay back. Go to sleep. I love how our Lord said, sleep on. I'll have people come up to me sometimes and say, I'm so sorry. My eyes were heavy. I was tired. And I say, as the Lord said, sleep on. It's okay. It's okay. Everybody can just go to sleep. Rest. Rest in Christ. One day they left Him alone in the garden. One day He rested from suffering free. Angels came down over His tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless. Outside of Christ, there's no hope for me. I'm hopeless. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is He. It's one of my favorite lines in a song. One day the grave could conceal Him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then He arose, over death He had conquered. Now is ascended my Lord evermore. The word Lord means, if you look up the definition, it means sovereign. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. And it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. You'll hear it in Ashland. We'll hear it in Kingsport. The whole world will hear it. The trump shall resound. And we'll hear it, and all of God's people are going to be as He is. As He is, so are we in this world. And the way He left this world is while He was blessing His people. He, gravity let go of Him, and He ascended into the air, into the cloud. And that's exactly how all of His people are leaving this earth. Whoever lives and believes in Him will never die. If we lay this old man down for a moment, before that happens, we will re-enter these bodies. The dead in Christ shall rise first. All right, all those generations, this is going to be elbow to elbow. The trumpet shall resound. Nobody's going to miss it. Everybody's going to hear it. The Lord shall descend. There He is. The moment our eyes make contact with Him, we'll be changed. We'll be just like Him. And we're going to rise to meet Him in the air. And so we'll ever be with Him. It's good news, isn't it? He arose over death. He had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with His glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sin far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. That's glorious news. All right, thank you.
I can say with the apostles, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't our hearts just burn within us? Thank you, Gabe. That was a blessing. Thank you. Before Mike sings, Brother Dan, do you mind coming dismissing us in prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this morning. Lord, we praise our Lord Jesus Christ, who became man, who lived a perfect life, that we might be made perfect in Him, who took our sin and put it away on the tree, that it exists no more, that we might come before Your holy throne. Call Thee our Father, to the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for not leaving us alone, but proclaiming a word from Thee to the hearts of Your people. Pray that You would continue to bless as we go forth, that we might live in this sinful world, telling fellow sinners the good news of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might declare the gospel. Pray that You would continue to bless Gabe and his family, give them traveling mercies, bring our pastor home to us. We ask all these things and give thanks in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Stand and sing 141. 141. Lord, He sings, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight return victorious, every knee to Him shall bow. Crown Him, proud become the victor's brow. Savior. Angels crown him with the trophies Jesus brings. In the seat of power enthroned him, while the vault of heaven rings. Crown him, crown him, crown the Savior, King of kings. Sinners in derision crown him, mocking thus the Savior's claim. Saints and angels crowd around him, his title praise his name. Crown him, crown him, spread abroad the victor's fame. Hark those bursts of acclamation, hark those loud triumphant chords. Jesus takes the highest station. Oh, what joy the sight affords. Crown him, crown him, King of kings and Lord.